Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth in the book of Acts. Love it. Acts means action. And one of my goals for this study is that, you know, God would help me to be more activated in my faith. It's easy sometimes to hide behind what we know or what we say, but at the end of the day, faith without works is dead.
Yeah, we said yesterday, you know, that Jesus modeled this for us, right? That Jesus, he taught and then he acted on his teachings. He did everything he taught. And it becomes so easy for us as parents, as pastors, as leaders, even as those of you that are teenagers listening to this, to know what we believe, to talk about what we believe, but never put feet behind what we believe.
For sure. Verse 6 is where we are, my friends, if you're following along. Acts chapter 1 and verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou, and watch their concern here, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? So during the ministry of Jesus, when they were convinced he was Messiah, their big desire was for the kingdom to start. The physical reign of Messiah, that was forefront in their minds.
Yeah, it harkens back to those early days when that was their concern and they were confused about the things that Jesus was talking about. And now it comes up once again. Hey, are you going to now restore the kingdom to Israel?
It's almost like, okay, Lord, yeah, we missed the whole suffering part. We missed the whole cross part. But now we get it.
Yes.
Okay, we get it now.
Yeah.
Okay, now.
Yeah.
Now are we ready to get rid of the Romans?
Right.
Now are we ready to set up a kingdom? Now can we be on the right hand and on the left hand?
Yes.
You know, all the things that had dominated their thinking before, it seems as if they just want to jump right back to that mindset.
Yeah, and I think they understand that the spiritual kingdom has been established. Jesus has died. You know, he's done what he told them he was going to do. He's risen from the dead. And so they get that. But now can we have that physical kingdom? And Jesus' response to them is interesting too.
It is. Let me read it, verse 7. And he said unto them, it's not for you to know. So, how many times have you said that to
right.
your
yeah.
boys?
Yes.
Guys, you don't need to know that.
Right,
okay?
Right. Yeah. There's some things we just don't need to know. And you think about in this instance, you know, what were the disciples asking for? They're asking for this physical kingdom to be set up. Is that going to happen one day?
Of course.
Yes. But when? You don't need to know.
It doesn't matter.
And think about if Jesus had told them, well, it's going to happen in 2000, whenever it happens, you know, 2000 plus years down the road, how discouraging would that have been for the disciples in that moment, you know, where they may feel like, well, we're never going to see that. Well, why should we do what you're asking us to do? And so Jesus, he just knows, you know, this isn't for you to know, guys.
And the imminency of the return of Christ ought to spur us to daily action.
Yes.
God's timetable is always today.
That's right. Yeah. And that's a great point because we don't know what tomorrow holds for our own personal life, you know, our physical life, or for whether or not Jesus is going to come back.
So it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But in other words, here's the contrast. You're not supposed to know this, but here's something that you will know. Okay, you want information. Okay, I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to answer your question.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. I'm not going to answer your question, but I am going to tell you what the present reality is.
Yeah.
So here's what you do need to know.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So did he answer their question? Yes and no.
Yeah. I love, you know, I've not, It's only been recently that I've kind of read verse 8 with what I believe is the correct emphasis, because I've always, and this may not come across the way that I think it's going to come across, but I've always kind of read it just like, but ye shall receive power after that. But I think the emphasis is, hey, you don't need to know about the times and the seasons and all those things, but you shall receive power. So what you will do right now is you're going to receive power, because the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and here's what you're going to do with that power. That's and right. So the emphasis is, hey, you don't need to know that, but here's what you do need to know. You're gonna have some power that is going to blow your mind, you know.
Don't be so concerned with timetable as you are with responsibility.
Yes, yeah.
It's that parable that Jesus told, is that what's not fair? This guy worked 12 hours and this guy worked 1 hour. They got the same. Listen, don't be concerned about timetable. Be concerned about your responsibility mm-hmm. and your relationship with the one that gave it to you.
Yeah.
So you're going to receive power. But they said, okay, is it time for the kingdom to be set up? I think in a way, Jesus said, I'm not going to give you the seasons or the times, but I'm going to tell you this, the gospel needs to get to the whole world.
Yeah, yeah.
So that means the implication there is it's got to be sometime.
Yeah. And you know, then he lists the areas and those are interesting too. Because do you want to get into those yet?
Sure. Let's jump right into it.
Okay. So, you know, he says, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. Well, think about what's just happened in Jerusalem. Jesus has just been crucified in Jerusalem. And now the disciples, you know, they've been told to stay there, but certainly there are people that are seeking after them in Jerusalem. They've identified with Jesus this whole time. So in Jerusalem, and then in Judea, and then in Samaria, this area where, you know, they didn't like those people, and they were the half-breeds, and they were the ones that they didn't associate with, and then into the uttermost parts of the earth where the Gentiles live, those that you know didn't need God, and those that they didn't want to take the message to. But Jesus tells them each and every one of those areas, there's people there that need him, and people there that you may not want to talk to, but that you need to talk to.
And the book of Acts is, I mean, not only everything you just said is just so spot on, but it's also an outline for the book of Acts. Because
right.
what you're
yes.
going to find in Acts chapters 1 through 7
yep.
is you're going to find Jerusalem and mm-hmm. Judea.
Yep.
Okay. In Acts chapter 8, you're going to find Samaria.
Yeah.
In Acts chapter 10, you're going to find Cornelius really representing the uttermost part. And then really from then on, as you look at the ministry of the Apostle Paul,
right.
you're going to see the gospel just mushrooming
yes. yeah.
throughout the whole world.
Yeah, the spread becomes exponential as disciples make disciples.
And as the Holy Spirit grabs people.
Right, yep.
The Holy Spirit empowered people witnessing the resurrection of Jesus Christ, verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So he went up so far, he went into the clouds, and that's the last they saw him.
Yeah.
And they just, I mean, if you could physically see this happen, I understand why they would just stand there gazing.
Oh, absolutely. I 100% agree. I mean, this was a momentous time. I mean, they've never seen anything like this, right? And so this is a momentous time in history, of course, and in their lives, for sure.
Have you ever seen something amazing that people have said is amazing, and then you saw it the first time in your life, and you just stood there and gawked?
Yeah, we had this conversation the other day about the Grand Canyon.
Right.
You know, that's one thing that I always tell people. There's one thing that I would say honestly left me speechless. It was the Grand Canyon, the first time I ever physically saw it. I've seen pictures, I've heard people describe it. None of that does it justice. And that's kind of like, I'm sure it was, you know, on a much larger scale,
right.
this event for the
but
disciples.
But it kind of gives you an idea. And the Bible says in verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, you're trying to catch that last glimpse. You see him maybe through that cloud.
Yeah,
I mean, they're just looking steadfastly. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So obviously these angels appear, and in the Bible, when angels would appear, they were typically indistinguishable from other human beings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And these two appear and give him this message here, give them this message here, that hey, you can go do what he's commanded you to do. You don't need to stand here gazing up anymore.
Right. It's almost the same mild rebuke. Rebuke is probably not the best word, but it's just the mild rebuke that was given to the women at the tomb.
Yeah.
To say, wait, he's risen like he told you.
Right, right.
Like he said.
Yes.
You know, and Jesus told you, John 14 and other passages, he's coming back. Yeah. He went to prepare a place for you. He's doing exactly what he said. So don't stand around waiting. He just told you what's going to happen. Yeah. Holy Ghost is going to come, and you're going to get your packing clothes on, and you're going to go everywhere.
Yeah, and okay? That had to be an encouragement to them, as these angels said, hey, he's going to come in like manner. As he's gone, as you've watched him go, he's going to come back. That had to be an encouragement for them, even though they didn't know when, even though they didn't know really how. But what an encouragement for them that must have been.
It is an encouragement. And then it also helps us to understand that when the angel said he's coming back in like manner, so he left the earth from Mount of Olives, mm-hmm. he's going to come back to the earth, Mount of Olives.
Right.
That's speaking about the second coming of Christ. Sometimes if we're not careful, we'll misuse terms. For instance, we'll talk about the rapture as the second coming of Christ. Technically, the rapture is not the second coming of Christ.
Right, right. The rapture is when Jesus comes back in the air to take those home that are here, that have trusted him as their Savior.
That will be saved from the time of tribulation.
Right.
They're people that are not Jews, who will not be the focus of Daniel's 70th week. And I know I'm getting technical here, but the point is that when you think about the comings of Christ, he came to his own. That's his first coming. Mm-hmm. In Bethlehem, and his own received him not. And then the second coming is when he comes with his own.
Right.
So you and I that have been raptured are with Christ, will come back with him, and Christ will strike down Antichrist. The Battle of Armageddon will set foot upon the Mount of Olives, will march through the Eastern Gate into the temple. That's the second coming. So where does the rapture fit in? Well, the rapture fits in before the second coming. And I would call that coming, it's not a coming to earth.
Right.
It's a coming to the clouds.
In the air, yeah. That,
right, in the air. And 1 Thessalonians 4, that's a coming that we would say he's coming for his own.
Right.
So think about the prepositions. He came to his own, Bethlehem. He'll come for his own, rapture. He's going to come with his own, second coming of Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
Good way to understand it.
Yep, it sure is. And that's a great clarification there to help us to understand that when he comes back and sets his feet on the earth, on the Mount of Olives, that's the second coming.
And the Bible says, he shall so, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Guys, you might not see it from Earth's vantage point. Matter of fact, they won't. These guys
right.
are all
yeah.
dead and gone now.
Yeah.
But they'll be with us.
Yes, yeah.
And so they will indeed see it, but they'll have a much better view.
Yeah, yeah. What a neat thought, you know, that one day we'll be there as Jesus comes back and he sets his feet here on the earth for the second time.
What a day that will be.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Almost makes me want to write a song. All the great songs have been written.
They you know? Have.
But
there's no new ideas.
No, there's not. But I appreciate you folks being a part of this podcast and just to studying the book of Acts with us, looking forward to how this is going to unfold, and hoping that our study of Acts will activate our faith in a new and dynamic way. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.